He was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska, and has four siblings who all attended Pius X. Charlie is a senior here at Pius X and is involved in campus ministry, track, and football. Please welcome Charlie.
What's up, everybody? All right, so before I start my real story, I want to tell you just a quick story about me writing the speech. So Scotty asked me to write this speech 2 weeks ago today, and I immediately went to work. I got onto my laptop, wrote one draft, read it, it was terrible. Wrote another draft, terrible, wrote another draft, and I kept editing and editing. I was on my sixth draft on Monday. I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, six times the charm, right? And I read it to my parents, and it's like 10 o'clock at night at this point on Monday. And I have to read it to Scotty and the rest of campus ministry on Tuesday. I read the whole thing to them, and they go, Charlie, man, like, you work so hard. This is terrible. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I worked so hard for 2 weeks on this thing. You're telling me I have to, like, it's terrible? They're like, Charlie, I love you, but it's not your story. And I go, what do you mean it's not my story? And they say, this story is the same story I've heard 20 times over in every retreat and every homily at the Newman Center. And you try to take all of their talks and put it into this little hole that you think is your life. And I was like, dang, what does that even mean? Right? Like, parents, they're bugging, right? And so I reread the speech, and I was like, never think my dad's right, but yeah, this is terrible, and it's not my story. So it's 10:30 at night, and I'm like, God, if you're real, just write this for me. And then I open up the laptop and go to work. I'm typing, and it's just flowing. And before I know it, it's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, okay, it's done. Like, right? I feel good. This is my story. Close the laptop, go to bed. That night, I have probably the scariest, most real, and just kind of sobering nightmares of my life. My loved ones, people closest to me, my best friends, my family, and my dreams, they all were dying. And I woke up in a cold sweat, and my room is like pitch black because I don't want to see the sun in the morning, you know what I mean? And you know that sixth sense you get when you feel like someone's watching you? Like, but you don't want to turn around and see. My room is pitch black. I can't see anything. I'm like, I know someone's in here with me. And those nightmares are a coincidence. I felt evil in my room. And that was probably the most real evil I've ever felt in my life. And I was scared. I was by myself in the dark with these scary dreams and this speech on my laptop that I knew in that moment was going to inspire people. So I got on the ground, prayed the St. Michael prayer, and like over and over and over again, felt good, tried to go back to sleep, nothing worked. So I got no sleep Monday night. Tuesday was a struggle, but I read it to Sister Guadalupe, Scotty, my friends, whoever was in the room during second period study hall, or off period. And I heard nothing but good things. So this speech tonight is truly me. It's the seventh try, but you know, I think it's a pretty good one. And if the devil is really trying to scare me away from trying to give this speech out of fear that someone's going to get hurt, then maybe I got something good in here that you'll listen to. Tonight, my testimony isn't going to be a typical one. Maybe to some of you, my testimony is going to be really boring. I say all this because my life is boring. I'm a really normal guy. I have had nothing awe-inspiring or crazy or just like a lightning bolt from God strike down in my life and say, you need to turn to Christianity and be a good Catholic or else. I'm ginger. Like, you know, I can't like have a really crazy life, bro. And I think a lot of you are going to see yourself in the same positions that I'm in or that I'm going to be talking about. So to start tonight, I'm going to start from the very beginning to the good old year of 2012 and when I started my spiritual journey as a tiny kid. Growing up, my parents had all these Bible bedtime stories. They'd read me every single night. And one that I really loved, I thought was just super cool, was the one of Peter getting out of the boat to go walk on water towards Jesus. And like, Peter gets out of the boat, right? Starts walking. And then the wind and the waves and everything, they just freak him out. So he starts drowning and Jesus pulls him out. And I was like, I wasn't like fascinated by Jesus pulling him out of the water. No, I wanted superpowers. I wanted to walk on water. And I said to my mom, who was reading the story, I said, if that Peter guy can walk on water, but he isn't Jesus, does that mean I can walk on water too? And my mom, being as sweet as she could, goes, well, Charlie, I'm sure you're just going to have to go try it for yourself. So that next day after, I just began brainstorming any possible way I could walk on water. It was summertime at this time, and my backyard was slip and slide central, you know? Like, raise your hand if you have a slip and slide in your backyard. Yeah? Yeah, y'all are real ones for sure. But my thought process was that if I could run down the slip and slide and not fall, then I basically walked on water, right? Like, that makes sense. So I remember setting it all up, and I brought my mom out to, like, watch me do this, like, stupid running on a slip and slide. Slip is literally in the name. And I like, backed myself all the way up. Like, I was about to do, like, some weird long jump, you know? And I, like, hurled myself toward the slip and slide, and boom, face planted right away. And my mom, she like tried to hold from laughing. She's like, try again. And it's okay to laugh, guys. And I was just so mad. I was like, how did that Peter guy do it? And to this day, I still wonder like how that Peter guy, not the fact that he walked on water, but how did that Peter guy trust in God enough to step out of the boat and follow him into this water, these crazy waves? So, fast forwarding to the fifth grade, when most of us were deciding on our confirmation saints. At the time, I was torn between like 30 different saints, you know? I was like, this is my good luck charm. This guy's going to represent me or whatever. I wanted St. Sebastian. I think a lot of my friends picked St. Sebastian, because he was the patron saint of sports. And St. Michael, I like St. Michael because he defeated the devil and whatnot. Like, hate that guy. I want St. Michael to be my guy. And I just couldn't pick on one saint until my theology teacher, Sister Pien Marie, for all those who went to St. Joe's. Yeah, remember her? Suggested very softly that I consider St. Peter. And she offered me a holy card of St. Peter that was blessed by JP2 so that I could help pray and consider him. I read the stories in the Bible about Peter and read about his life. Came to find that Peter was impulsive, enthusiastic, protective, talkative, and frequently wrong. And to me, that sounded like someone I knew pretty well. And to those who are confused, I'm talking about me. I just love that Peter made mistakes, so many terrible mistakes with Jesus. Our faith says that the difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter realized that Jesus Christ was his Savior. And Judas, who failed to see that God was his Savior, died without faith or hope or a chance at redemption. I went with my gut and chose Peter, and now I can see more and more every day that making mistakes and realizing that Jesus is our Savior is key to our faith. Fast forwarding again a couple more years to the start of my high school career. Coming off fresh from COVID in 2020, my incoming freshman class had never had the same social dynamic as the freshmen this year have. You guys have been pretty lucky. Everything done together in 2020 had to be tested, sanitized, masked, but this didn't matter to me, you know? Like, I was high off life, ready to go make some friends. And so I'm sure a lot of you were like, yeah, I remember that Charlie guy was super annoying freshman year. He'd say hi to me every day, and I didn't even know who he was. First day of school, I was trying to be nice to this girl in my English class. And the question was, if you were stuck on an island with someone in this class, what would you do? And this lady who was partnering with me, she was like, well, I'd probably kill you. I go, what do you mean? Like, I haven't even known you for like 5 minutes. And she's like, well, I don't know who you are. I'm just going to kill you. Yeah, so it was a crazy way to start my freshman year. But I was undeterred, you know? I just said hi to everyone. It was super social. And I was like a beam of positivity, it felt like, for a year. But the social aspect of high school was just one part of it. Athletics was another huge part of it. I took basketball at that time very, very seriously. It's kind of funny. Basketball team isn't here tonight. And when I came to Pius, I identified myself as a basketball player and wanted nothing more than to be on the team with my guys. My sophomore year was much of the same as my freshman year. I went to school with the same happiness, same huge head of hair, and the same caffeine in the morning to keep me fresh. But the only thing about sophomore year is that y'all sophomores, you're in the weeds of it right now. You guys are figuring things out, and it can be really tough. My sophomore year, I was thrown through a good loop midway through the year when I was cut from the basketball team. Up until that time, my basketball had been like a passion, and previously, like I said, it was my identity. It was really hard for me, but I'm sure a good number of you know what I'm talking about. When you think that you have an identity in a certain sport, and having that same thing taken away from you is super difficult. I'm not just talking about sports. It could be your classes. You lose your 4-0. It could be your activities, or your friends don't like you in your clubs. It can be in any number of things. And having that taken away from you is really hard, guys. And that sophomore year, when you're trying to figure things out, it was at a good time for me to kind of hit the reboot button. When at that time, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with myself. And I tried to find a new hobby or sport to stay involved in Pius Athletics. I tried so many different things. I went out for the speech team. Shout out to the speech team. I went out for cross country and was terrible. I tried tennis, got cut. I tried show choir for one practice. Better believe it, I did not go back. I'll tell you what, show choir is tough stuff. I started track and somehow managed to break my own nose doing high jump of all events. And if y'all want to know the story, you can ask me afterwards. But I went out for student council, and that's panned out pretty well, I guess. It seemed as though my life was filled, and I was finding my purpose in my sport, whichever sport I was trying at the time. And my friends and my family and my classes, I felt like my life was full. I mean, that's what everyone tells you is your purpose, right? To have a full life that you're happy with. I thought that things in high school were going as normally as they go. And you have your highs and your lows like everyone else. I was just figuring things out at that time and getting through it. A little midway through my junior year, though, I began to hit one of those lows. And I signed up for the fall retreat that year. And that's when I had an encounter with Christ. Not my first one, but I had a good encounter with Christ on that fall retreat. And like I said earlier, it wasn't like some lightning bolt or like the heavens opened up and God said, you better be good, Charlie, or whatever. I know, this is goofy. But no. In all seriousness, on that retreat, my encounter with Christ was the Holy Spirit giving me clarity. And I saw that, like, I thought that I had a full life, but God said there's more. Like, but do you want more? I'm offering you a chance to go beyond what you think is possible right now. And at that point in my life, I thought of myself as, like, a pretty JV Catholic. You know, like, not quite ready yet for varsity Catholic. I went to Mass on Sundays, prayed every night, did what I was supposed to, but like wasn't totally into it. And at adoration that night on the retreat, the Lord called me to dedicate myself more to Him, to step up. And even though I thought I had been doing enough in my life, He was calling me for more. The Lord was calling me to get out of the water, to get out onto the water and step out of the boat, just like Jesus, just like Peter did. Not Jesus, because Jesus was already in the water. Immediately after that fall retreat, I wanted to live more of my life with Jesus. I started school again that next week, and I began to visit Jesus every day in the chapel. I got in touch with campus ministry and joined a discipleship group. Things were going slowly, granted, but I could see little changes in my everyday life that God kindly snuck Himself into. I began to see God in everyday moments. When a teacher would let me retake a quiz I would fail, that's a quick gift from God right there. When I'm having a rough day, and my best friend reluctantly buys me a cookie because he sees that I'm not having that I'm frowning for whatever reason, that's a little quick gift from God, my friends. It's easy for me to see the positives at first, but like the negatives are really hard too. Like, no one wants to hang out this weekend. Like, I was really planning on doing something fun this weekend, but maybe God is calling me to spend more time with Him. Or like, I wasn't able to change my schedule to be in these certain classes with Mr. McKee because I heard he's a cool guy. Maybe the Lord is calling me to be with specific people in my classes that I have now. Little everyday moments of God began to sprout up everywhere that second semester of my junior year. Today, I still do the same thing that I was doing last year. I still see God in these everyday moments through everyone that I meet. I find the Lord every day because before I get out of bed, I know that I'm deciding to step out of the boat. When I go to school every day, I know I have to step out of my comfort zone a little bit and trust in God. Don't get me wrong, it's scary as all get out, because you don't know what the new day is going to bring you. But that's exactly what God wants. It's an invitation to lean on to Him, to trust in Him. And also, I know that if I decide not to get out of the boat, if I don't get up in the morning and step out of my comfort zone, then I know I'm missing out on something great. Because every single day is a gift from God. That's the biggest thing I learned from the fall retreat that year. Yeah, maybe you're living your life just fine, but are you willing to say yes to the more that God offers you? The more that God offers you every single day. Getting up and trusting in God sounds super overwhelming, right? Like, who right now sounds overwhelmed? All right, okay. It sounded super overwhelming to me. That is exactly why I want to tell all of you the importance of a friendship in Jesus Christ. For me, this friendship is key to unlocking that ability to say yes when God offers you more and asks you to get out of the boat. Friendship with God comes through prayer life because when you really think about it, all prayer is talking with God as your friend. Not like, just like talking to your friend that you see every day in school. It's just like that. I know that it's difficult to fit in a prayer time with a high school schedule. I mean, as high schoolers, we have so many things to do. We got homework, we got practices to be at, we got friends to talk to, tea to spill, Fortnite to hop onto. And St. Francis de Sales has a great quote for the importance of prayer in a hectic life. He said, "All of us need half an hour a day to pray. But if we're busy, then you need a full hour." Thankfully for all of us, that hour with God starts right here in Holy Adoration in just a few minutes. If you all are wondering how to pray and start that friendship with Jesus, I think I found a pretty good method. It's simple, easy to remember, and completely customizable to how you pray. Step one, check in with yourself. Be honest with yourself and your feelings. You don't have to act cool or tough or over-exaggerate or try to check in with someone else's feelings who's sitting next to you. Step two, tell God why you feel this way. Talk to Him as if He was sitting right next to you, listening intently to everything you say. And step three, you listen to what He has to say to you. This is super important, not just in your relationship with God, but any relationship you're in. Because sometimes we talk too much that we get tired of talking and we don't have the energy to listen, when they're probably saying something in this friendship with God, when God is probably saying something super important for you to make yourself better. And step four, how are you going to act on what Jesus told you? Have a plan of action that can positively change your circumstances. Even if that change is a little one. I mean, like everyone says, 1% better. There's one last thing I want to share with all of you before wrapping things up. Don't be afraid to make mistakes when you're in a friendship with Christ. And this is coming from an Olympic overthinker, by the way. Oftentimes, when I mess up early on with saying yes to God every day, I'd get super down on myself. I'd say things like, what's the point of this? Like, I'm just going to go to confession again or prayer teams and say the same sins or frustrations every single time. Or the line, there's just too many rules and they're hard to follow. Like, I want to live my life. I don't have to worry about so many rules. I'm just going to give up on this. Like, retreat, but that was a fluke, man. I don't believe in that. This self-doubt in my mistakes was super real and very valid for me until the Lord provided me with a little perspective on this matter. One day, my family and I, we were going up to Omaha to see my little niece walk for the first time. When she started walking, she would take little steps, fall over on herself, get back up, fall over herself, and just keep going, keep walking to make it to the other side of the room where her dad was. And I noticed that my family wasn't upset, like getting super angry with her that she wasn't a pro walker yet. I mean, that's stupid to yell at a one-year-old for not being able to walk yet. And it was at this moment that I realized that God doesn't get upset when we sin all the time, even if it's the same sin, or disappointed that we aren't living saints yet every day. He and his angels are cheering us on through every single step of our lives. God is joyful when we fall into our sins. And I know it's kind of backwards to hear, but it's super true. Because he knows that each and every step that we take next is going to be a step that we take towards him. To close, let's remember that there is a God out there who loves us and wants to be with us. Our actions and our decisions can be guided by the Lord through a strong prayer life. Through that prayer life, we can find a friend in the Lord Jesus. We don't want to have some lucky charm or some chore or an assignment in our theology class to be our God. No, our God is mighty and powerful. We can move to a better tomorrow starting tonight by deciding to say yes to the Lord and embracing him in this next hour. Where else would you rather be right now than with the Lord in this moment, in this place, with these people? We can all find strength, guidance, and courage in the Lord the more we talk to him. So let's go forth tonight and tomorrow and bring the Lord to all those we meet and make a positive difference in our world, knowing that with God, all things are truly possible. Everything is possible when you have a friend in Christ. And just like that guy Peter, who got out of the boat, we too can walk on water with full trust in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I trust you.